Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Explicit Measures Podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike. Good morning. It's Thursday.
We are well into May.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, it has zoomed by. Things have been moving incredibly fast. So, yeah, it's May already.
Are they doing a business application summit in May? Or I saw something about like Microsoft Build in May, but there was no registration that worked.
I have not heard anything about MBAS, Microsoft Business Application Summit. I have heard that there was going to be some good announcements coming in Build. So I think Build's going to be their major release of information this year. It doesn't sound like they're going to be able to get an MBAS thing around. But for whatever reason, there's a ton of stuff upcoming, like in the end of the year. Like everyone's decided to do conferences, and they're all in like September, October, November. Like they're riddled at the end of the year. So there's a big conference going that I think Microsoft is sponsoring. It's like the Power Platform conference in Orlando. I think it's
is that from Dynamic Communities?
No, I don't think so. It was some other company I wasn't aware of. So it sounds like there's a lot of close ties with the Microsoft team as well. So that seems like that's going to be like the big event for the Power Platform pieces. I may or may not be making it to that one.
Well, because I thought it would be the same thing like when we went to Houston. It's like, hey, there's five Power BI guys here at this definitely not Power Platform conference.
That one for sure felt very much like a Dynamics conference that got bolted on with a couple Power Platform additional items on there for sure.
Felt like the new kid at school.
Isn't it always a Power BI conference when you show up, Mike?
Well, maybe. Maybe a try. What was telling on that conference was going to the vendor hall and walking around the vendor hall, because it was literally like shops right. of just it was all it wasn't like anything Power Platform related. It was like all Dynamics companies,
third party plugins for CRM.
Yes, 100%.
Like 95%.
We did a fair amount of plucking people from that arena, and I think Tommy literally went out. We're like, we have questions. We don't understand like. What is Dynamics? Like, cause we know what it is, but we haven't like done extensive work in like working with Dynamics. We think of Dynamics as a data source to Power BI primarily. So we were plucking people from booths. We were asking people to come over and talk to us. We were like just having our own little like loud chat and arguments about Power BI.
I don't remember the exact argument, but I think I literally pulled a random guy. Said, I bet you don't know anything about Power BI or, you know, like they use it. And he happened to be a data analysis for CRM.
Yep.
But so, yeah, man.
Did he know anything?
Yeah, he actually did a session on Power BI. Yeah. So, and how it works with Dynamics.
Yes.
That's cool.
So,
yeah, conferences. Huh, we'll see.
Yes. Well, the proof will be in the pudding, and these things can happen, right? If they'll actually be able to be in person again. People seem excited about it, though. So, anyways, conference things aside, get into the topic for today. Today's topic is around teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work. I heard that yesterday. So, teamwork and aligning your goals for your Power BI organization. This should be pretty good. I'm looking forward to this one. Tommy, kick me off here. What are some of your thoughts on where we're going to go with this one?
Honestly, I think what Seth's doing with his team, I want to hear Seth first to give the introduction on this one.
Ooh.
Personally.
This isn't a what am I doing with my team, right? There's a setup,
Tom. Yeah, it's like, kind of...
What is the direction? What do you want to talk about with teamwork and aligning goals?
Let's change it up. You do the setup.
Oh man.
Oh, okay. Oh,
let's change it up. Hey, I'm off. Ice things up.
Realize.
I'm not
Seth,
good.
Seth hasn't had his coffee and it has not 30 minutes in, and he hasn't had time to review all the things that we said.
Then the knowledge bits come out. Yeah.
So, all right. Be aware.
So today,
your results may vary for this first portion of the podcast.
Explicit Measures podcast.
Oh, God.
No, where I'm going to go is there's a lot of different BI team setups I think that you can implement within organizations depending on size, for sure, right? Depending on, a lot of different variables. We're going to dive into what those structures might look like and paths, I think, for success that we've experienced within teams or seen in our experience that work really well. And the overall goal of teamwork and aligning goals of this podcast is to provide a little bit more insight into what those teams.
We won't be bashful about it. Tommy loves goals from PowerBI.com. He thinks it's like the best thing since sliced bread.
I think goals are a good idea. And I think this is very prominent today. I find it very ironic, and I put this out on the social media world, but I find it very ironic that a lot of BI teams don't have, like, they have goals and they're usually, you know, working on projects that the company's doing, or we're doing just something that needs to be done. But in terms of measuring, like, were we successful this year and as measured by what? I don't see a lot of teams or kind of having those goals. Like, what did we push? Obviously I could tell you what I did. I could tell you what our team did, but in terms of before the year actually starts or when you're planning, like, we're here, we want to get to here, and what those are. I don't think there's a lot of those. And I think that really helps when we're talking about teamwork. I find a lot of silos usually, again, when it's not the seat of your pants. That's definitely not the saying. Whatever the saying is. So apparently I need some more coffee. At the seat of your pants, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, you know, just cutting by, just getting by.
And everyone's kind of just flying by your silos. Well, I'm good at this, so I'm just going to take this request. I'm going to take this request. And then next thing you know, the entire year is gone. So
that leans a little bit more into, what are you actually going to measure? Like, what are the measurements of success for your team too? Because I think those matter.
I think either way, it's going to be interesting conversation, because a lot of this has to do with people, right? People, processes, right? What are you setting up the structures as, you know, and where do you sit within the team, right?
Yep.
Tommy, I think you're a director in your organization. So am I. So we're in the driver's seat, or have a team, you know, that we're kind of moving along, right?
I think your point that you made earlier, Seth, you know, what are the size of your organizations, or what is the size of the BI team, I think makes a big impact here. And I guess one of the areas I'd like to talk about, or at least think through, is, when do you know is the right time to grow that team? And some techniques you use to indicate back to leadership. I mean, I think there's always a path here to increasing the size of the team or decreasing the size of the team based on demand. But to Tommy's point earlier, things you need to measure, messages you're going to convey to leadership to know if that team needs to increase or decrease. I think that's very relevant here, especially when you start talking about sizes of companies.
Sure. Right. But I think those would be and should be driven by the goals of the company.
I totally agree with that.
Right. I mean, the purpose, like, the teams should always be, you know, as efficient as possible, right? Or producing. But I think the challenge for an organization as you scale and grow is ensuring the team size is sufficient to meet the needs of the business, but not too large that you're going to have to let people go at some point.
But I also feel like this is also, you know, what we brought up a point a while ago from one of our mailbag questions is the idea of, like, you don't want to be a service ticket group either. I mean, there's a level of, like, you want to be an analytical leader or a team that is helping to push the company culture with data to a higher level. You don't want to be just that team that's just in there fulfilling low level requirements for tickets either. So I think there's some, you have to do some of that to some degree, but it's finding the balance between those elements, right? You're trying to lead the company organizationally. You're trying to support them with Power BI. You're implementing self-service for different departments, or you're working or partnering with different team members to do that. I just think it's a very interesting situation.
Go ahead.
Well,
I was going to say, that's why it's so important, especially in the world we live in now, why we need to be so in tune with the company's goals. I with going to the request, right? That's mm-hmm. something we should absolutely be tracking in terms of what is that request workload? And then we can actually report back to the executive or leadership saying, look how many requests the data team's getting. And, you know, this is our backlog right now, what we have. I don't think you make necessarily decisions on hiring alone on that, because again, what if that dies down? But that it combined with where is the company trying to go? Working on that vision for how does that BI team support that? Is improving the processes? What kind of reports we're building, increasing that trust? So what projects are going to be done, thinking of that long term along with the requests that you get? Because I guarantee you, the more you, and I am sure Chris Wagner can speak to this, the more successful BI team is and the better there is adoption, the more requests are going to come in. The more interaction they're going to want with their data. So how do you manage that? But I think the bigger projects need to be aligned with the company to kind of gauge what kind of structure your team has.
I mean, it depends. I do want to point out one important thing that I think Mike's comments allude to, right? That regardless of whether or not tickets are going directly to your team, or you have a tiered process where depending on internal, external tickets, they get put through, you know, levels of support before it gets to your, you know, team. One of the biggest and most important challenges, I think, as somebody who leads a team is to make sure that the team understands the importance of what they're doing in the ticket, right? Because it can get really mundane, or it can get really frustrating if all you think you're doing is ripping through tickets and adding things to reports or fixing something, if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing and the impact of what that's doing, right? And then that kind of leads into like the type of work that you're doing. Is it always support ticket work, right? Mm-hmm. Is it always like, oh, is something broken? Or are you having the opportunity to do new things and build brand new reports and enhance solutions or clean up some of your solutions, right? And I think that mix is where you keep teams happy, because once it gets too overloaded into support or too overloaded into tech debt and not mm-hmm. enough of innovation and enhancement, is where people start to, you know, lose traction from what I've seen.
Oh, I completely agree with that too, where the help desk is not necessarily like that IT side, like, hey, my office is broken, which actually just happened to me last night. I can't open Outlook or Excel. So now it's basically forcing me to use the cloud. Thanks, Mike. So doing everything. Yeah. But we're not necessarily just doing those requests. A lot of times that portal, the help desk portal, again, I think there's a better name for that, is where new report ideas come from or bigger projects come from. That being said, I think this says point, if I'm just doing that every day and they're just these random ad hoc, you know, where does this actually align in the bigger picture? Yeah, I think that makes it from a person on the team that mundane. It's like, what are we really doing here? I'm just sad at, you know, making these people happy. Am I seeing the bigger picture in terms of here are the bigger projects I'm working on? Here are the things that are really moving the company forward that are outside of that realm, so to speak, that are transformative. And I think there has to be that mix. And you have to keep the team happy and yourself too, where how do you balance that?
So you made a point there, said that I really wanted, I think that was a really good point. I think there's, and I'm going back to just some of the initial part of the conversation around already was, what are the key objectives of the organization? So I'm gonna go back to Matthew Roach's kind of recommendation when he talks about rolling out Power BI within an organization. His first and foremost thing is executive sponsor. Your BI, whatever thing is, will fail without some sort of executive sponsor with a bigger vision to where you're gonna go. So I mean, if we're talking about company goals and teamwork, I think this all starts, or at least a key identification of what you need to find first is who will be the sponsor for this type of work, right? So if you're going to let Power BI, so there's two ways you can go around this. You can just let Power BI open up and people just figure things out, and IT just kind of governs the admining portion of giving people access to things, I think that has problems if you just do that, because it turns into an organization that consumes more and more and more. Things are not built as efficiently. How do you ever promote content that's being made across users up to another, up to a higher level within the organization? So I think there needs to be some corporate level or higher level of objective that says, we're going to define what our data culture is right now and what we want to get to. And I feel like the BI team should align themselves with that broader vision of what the company should be doing analytically, right? We want to, you know, almost like a charter, right? You'd have a statement. We're a company, we use our data to make accurate, you know, to make good decisions, or we use our data to make informed decisions, whatever, something like that is. And so that way, I think the BI team can be this this force to, right, at certain size of the organization, you're looking at, okay, do we have a center of excellence? What are we doing? Like, all the knowledge shouldn't only stay inside the BI team. I think there's going to have to be needs where this, because, you know, Power BI is free. You can just go download it and start connecting to things, right? The fact that there's the ability to get this stuff into people's hands at a very low cost, I think there's a responsibility of your BI team to continually promote and educate the broader part of your organization, because there's going to need to be other people who continually learn more about where they're at to a higher level, so they can understand how to write a measure, what is DAX, how to build their own visuals. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I don't disagree with you,
but you don't agree either. I don't disagree, and I don't actually agree either. I'm kind of in the middle. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
I think I'm kind of stuck in the realm of, yeah, we've talked about this quite a bit, right? Like, yeah, as the not pie in the sky, but you're at an advanced level or a certain level of maturity as an organization to start adopting data culture and pushing out and having executive sponsors and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think the hope is that an organization would look at a BI team or a person or two or three, right, that are servicing reporting within the organization and have goals for them, because that's where you're spending money. I don't know if that's the case all the time, right? So I agree with you, but I think, I don't know how much of the spectrum of the listening audience is in the realm of like, yeah, start with an executive sponsor, or you should. I agree that it, from the top down, an organization should look at a BI team like with value, because if you're going to, like, what is the major initiative today, like, in your organization, where do you have the biggest data challenges that if you had those insights, you can make better decisions or make more money or save money, et cetera, right? Absolutely, those should align with those top-down directives, or you should be able to figure out,
yes,
based on the key objectives of the organization, which type of reports need to be developed within a given year. I did want to address, though, the other side of that where that doesn't exist, right? That's harder, because I think as a person, if you have a team that is the BI team or a reporting team, it's important for you to set those, right? Like, if you don't have a direction for the team to go, or then all of the people underneath you aren't going to have a mm-hmm. value, something to shoot for, right? And then it does really, then you get into a vicious circle, I think, of it just being a mundane grind. And what's exciting, mm-hmm. because I'm just showing up to work and we just do the same thing, and I love my coworkers and it's fun and I get to play with Power BI, but every year is going to be the same because there's no goal to shoot for. So I think within here, I just wanted to point out that, like, I think a lot of people might be in that realm of, like, maybe their organization doesn't have these yearly goals that they can align to. But it certainly is the best way, I think, for aligning a team, you know, into the organization. If it's not there, be the catalyst for change. And, yeah, and maybe that's how you grow and get an executive sponsor, right? Because, yep, you would be the one that is saying, here's the value we're going to provide to the organization this year. This is why I need to retain my people, or this is why I need to grow my team. Because if we want to accomplish these things, or I want to accomplish these things, you know, this is how it's going to benefit the business. And that's how you, I think, start promoting that conversation till you get to the point where you laid out very clearly and nicely the point, and I agree with, where you can get into this realm of having the organization do what it should and push down some of those directives that you can just fill in the gaps with for your team.
And as I was thinking about this topic, I am basically, you took the words out of my mouth, where I think for any team, and it's probably not just BI, but I think we don't think of the BI team in the same way. And I don't know why, but we definitely should be thinking from the internal BI team, thinking about what are our goals for this year? What are the challenges that we may face?
Yes.
And what should we be striving towards? How are we moving the ball forward for the company? Because at the end of the day, if I was, looking at the budget and saying, okay, what value is the BI team doing? They're doing a lot of reports, but how are they moving our goals forward? What are they transforming? For me, some of the most satisfying projects I've worked on have been those where, okay, this is high impact to the business. It's going to transform the way an entire department works. And it's obviously a bigger project, may take a few months, but it's one of those we're aiming towards, rather than we're just, okay, hey, BI team, there's going to be requests that come in. We're going to build reports. We're going to do some cleaning. And you're right, it's just the same thing over. And that's fine. But I think where we should implement ourselves, and I think what we're actually really good at, is offering those solutions. But that all being said, it's not just saying, okay, what's our goals? I think you need to specify, and for not necessarily each individual team member, but as you're thinking about what the team should be doing, what skills should I have on my team, and how are we working together, is that overall picture of, like, how can the BI team measurably transform the company? Is it, for example, one of the things is you talked about the data culture, Mike. Are 70% of our reports right now general based reports based on that tiered bucket that we said? Well, you know what would actually be one of our sub goals is that 30% at the end of the year are general, and the rest are either analytical or operational, and trying to move the ball that way. So for myself, I have something to really shoot for that's impactful, not like how many views did you get or how many reports did you build.
That's interesting. I want to put out your note there. Let me clarify your point, because I think you made an interesting point that I don't think I initially thought of myself. You're talking about, for each report that you do or is being published out, you're categorizing it to some degree.
Right. Well, that's the idea. I think that started from the podcast.
So a request would come in. The request may have a category on it. Your team, if your team's working on reports, you would look at that report and say, is this a informational report, or is this a analytical report, or is this an operation report, or is this like an analytic report?
And targeted with a goal associated with it.
Okay.
Is it analytical, or is it operational, or does it not meet any of those? And we would specify that. So we don't do that now, but that's actually one of the things that I'm beginning to write up now, in terms of, man, if you actually looked at all these reports, they don't meet any of those criteria. So they're just general.
So, quick recap from episode 103, Mike, we were talking about general / data access.
Yep.
Right.
Well, this is where I was going with that point. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's like they don't know what they want. Correct. It's just generalized data. Yep. Second would be, they do know what they want. They've done some analysis. We're going to give them something useful and automated. And then targeted is that enhanced level of reporting where we're shooting real key metrics that you can make quick decisions on. So it sounds like Tommy is starting to implement that.
Well, yeah, because there's nothing more frustrating than working on a report that a request comes in and you really don't have a direction for it. You do all the scoping you can,
but
you build
it. I love it. Like that is meaningful to me, because then you can start. All of this is just testing, right? You're mm-hmm. you're basically saying, hey, it's my belief that based on my knowledge and experience, if we raise the bar in the organization, right, if we provide better insights and better reporting, people are going to be making faster, better decisions, mm-hmm. right? So as you elevate, like, you should start to see some of the byproducts of those efforts within the organization, where people start to, become more efficient, or, whatever the case may be.
No, absolutely. And I think for the analysts or the people on your team, they're also having a little more purpose in their own work where they're, again, they're not just doing this general request. They're having conversations with you. Like, we're still getting all these general requests. How do we change this? Because our number right now is something we can track and is something that we can, in a sense, control a little more. So things like that, I think from a request point of view, I love, and again, this is one of those, is it necessarily tied exactly to a business objective? Not necessarily. It's not, it might not be one of your company goals, but it's one of the things as, you know, being someone who's taking the initiative saying the way we can transform the company is X, Y, and Z. And I believe this is one of those ways. So I
see,
think
I would challenge you though then, right? Because if you're saying that, you know, implementing these processes is, could create organizational change, then what you are saying is these are the steps towards making a measurement of success. And mm-hmm. I would say you have to figure out what that measurement right. at the end of that is going to be, or at least anecdotally. It may not be like, hey, we can go take this survey or get a number. But at the same time, I would give some thought around, hey, we're going to have these conversations like right now. If you have these conversations in our organization, everybody's going to say we do a ton of manual work and right. it takes X amount of time. We're going to have these same conversations at the end of the year. And our expectation is because we've implemented these processes or we're pushing for this direction that more and more of our organization is, yeah, I know where to go for this. It's right here. And this yeah. is how I make my decisions on a daily basis. And Tommy's the best thing since sliced bread. And
yeah. And I want my team too, with the whatever these goals we set up, not just something that we look at the end of the year and it's like, okay, well, we have 15 requests. And it's part of the conversation that the BI team's having on a weekly or biweekly basis on what are those points? Have we moved the needle? Why or why not? Because that, in a sense, makes the job a lot more fun because now you're not just dealing with the mundane requests, you're actually dealing, it almost game, I don't want to say it gamifies it, but it really makes it something that you can actually track towards and trend towards. So, and I think that goes with the projects too, right? Where it's setting up those goals for the BI team, like what can we do to improve? It's like everything's on premise, so we want to move everything. Maybe that's something that the company needs to do.
I like that.
What
goal.
Is that? What does that look like? Like, or like the old technology systems. We want 80% of our data sources to be in something that's structured and not Excel. But again, that's something that you can trend towards. Ideally, too, and I don't know if you mentioned this, Seth, or we're touching on this, but one of the things I'm really trying to push is that any goal from the BI team is aligned with the company's like five annual goals. Like, and trying to say, like, even if it's, you know, slightly indirect, but what are we doing to help the company meet their sales objective or the growth of new members that they want? How can 100%. We implement ourselves?
Yeah, you for sure should be doing that because those should be. I mean, most organizations I think would have those larger level goals, and you for sure should. And I'm always another thing too. I'm always when I was an employee of a large company, they had this scaling rating system, and they would say make goals that align to these, you know, four or five key areas of the business. The business had objectives, right? So I think that's 100% should do that, right? If you don't know what your larger company goals are, that's a red flag in my book right away, right?
Yeah. So
think about how you can align your work to that. And then I'm always a big fan, this is a side note here, but I'm a huge fan of having an odd number of goals. And I'm torn because 3, 5s, or 7s. Now, I think 7 goals might, if you have a larger team with a lot of people in it, maybe those goals can be, maybe you can get more goals like that at that level. But for me personally, I felt overwhelmed when I had like 7 goals the company wanted me to work on, all these different things, right? And then, you know, I always like to use odd numbers because they would always score each one of these goals. You're either like, you know, above performance, average performance, below performance. There was a kind of like general, you know, performance-based things. And so, you know, when it came time for the end of the year review, I didn't want 2 that said amazing performance and 2 that said just did what you had to do to get it done. And then you're like, well, I'm kind of at a tie, right? My overall performance was like, oh, okay, I had 2 performance and 2 just kind of okays. So I wanted at least an odd number of goals So there was never a tie about whether I was overperforming.
CYA much?
Yeah. Well, I got to be honest though. Like when you're in big corporate world, there's a lot of CYA.
Play games.
You play games. And you track. So, you know, you have to prove your value to some degree or else you don't get the promotion that you want. You don't want to move to the department that you want, right? There's incentives. And I think, you know, I read this on somewhere, a sign of a caustic company culture is people will start spending more time covering themselves or CYA when they're in a company culture that's not enabling them to just add value and push. And if you feel like you're in a company that is safe, you won't worry about that as much. And you'll spend more time focusing on, you know, bottom line, adding at, you know, just doing what you love and enjoying how to like contribute to the company. Anyways,
you got that from that Never Ending Game.
Yes, it is from Never Ending Game. Yeah, that is Simon Sinek, I believe. Never Ending Game, which I think is a really good book, and he makes some amazing points around the concept that companies compete on like sales numbers. Like the companies play games. It's like a sporting event, right? We're always playing to like meet this objective or meet this goal. Or it's not a game. Corporate world is not a game you can play. It's the rules are ever changing. There's not a defined set of rules. The players in the market are always different, and new competitors will arise and other competitors will fall off. Like sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. So I feel like that was a great observation Joe is right. Infinite Game, I think is what it's called. Simon Sinek with the Infinite Game. Yeah, it's a really good book. I learned a lot from it and took a lot away from it for me personally.
So we've talked about, I think, a lot about aligning teams to org. Should we focus more on teams or some of the things we can do to make hitting those goals successful?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the logical next step, right? And it's not because it's also in the agenda or in the title. Mm-hmm. But no, Seth, I think you have to start with the goals. Like if you were to say this is a chicken or the egg thing.
I'm not saying we didn't. Like I'm not saying we did wrong, right?
No,
like,
no. I'm saying I think you need to start with defining and specifying the goals or how you're going to structure the goals before you can say what kind of teamwork do we have or what kind of team do we have.
Oh, for sure. Because like you can't have success unless you're measuring something.
Yeah.
Right? Like and that's where I think satisfaction comes into it. We addressed that a little bit, right? In off the bat, but yeah, yes, I did more tickets.
Right.
Well, yeah, so, right.
Ticket,
so look,
the ticket game.
I'd like to throw out some ideas here that are, so I mean, we could all measure. I mean, I think it's very easy to measure that. I think it's a very low hanging fruit of tickets come in, you do them. Now, I'll also should probably come back to this is thinking about how do you do ticketing, right? Are you using Jira? What happens if your company doesn't have it? How do you build something that's not Jira based that still gets the job done? Excuse me, I need to sneeze. All right. Another thing though, I'd like to talk more about like what are these other objectives or goals? What would you measure? Okay, tickets. Yeah, sure. What other things do you measure? Like as you see these organizations, what other value added things do you put your hat on, hang your hat on, you know, at the end of the year, you're coming back with evaluation things. Where do you add additional value to the company? And what I'll throw one out that I think is good. I think another one to good here is you want to, so I know it's harder to quantify, but adding capability into an organization, I think is a underrated value add, right? So when you're working on processes or when you're working on taking a baseline to some degree around, okay, this process took so-and-so 6 hours once a week to do this thing. We came in and did and built them a report or automated a load of data or automated a thing. And now we're down to, okay, we used to refresh this report once a week. Now we're refreshing it every night. And it doesn't take anyone, it takes us 30 minutes to refresh the entire report. Right. So there's this concept of like adding additional capability toward the organization that's above and beyond. Like you've literally changed the game, and not any number of man hours in the world wouldn't help you solve that problem. Right. Does that make, you know what I'm saying there? Like, does that,
yeah.
like when you're at like documenting things that are adding feature capability to the company, I think is another big win. And you have, but you have to articulate them back to the organization so they understand like why was this impactful? Why did we automate this thing? Because it took so much time.
Oh, totally. And I think that's what I was referring to when I was saying, when we're saying, what are the company goals? Then how can we support that? Because there's usually going to be something there where we're implementing ourselves into. And because it's, again, I think it's still ideally something you can measure. And whether it's the hours being worked or whether, like, let's say we create a, you know, a new way to access, you know, like the CRM system.
But that's capability. It, like, so you, like we never had an easy way to get data. Look, we've made a data model that grabs those tables and easily distributes to this team, right? You may not even build a report. It may be just access to data, right?
Right.
But I think those are the things you, like, I'm looking for other observations, like how, like, what do you look for? What do you document so that those things can be added to your end of your goals?
So I would probably look for kind of maybe four categories. How are we supporting the company? Help desk tickets, you know, the satisfaction, making sure things are clear and cut and people can get the support they need for new requests. Are we documenting our process? So how much are we building the knowledge center? So there, I think when we talk about teams, the ability for me to cross train or cross learn what someone else does or what the access is. So are we documenting what we do? Are we avoiding our technical debt? The projects and I think that capability side of it. And the other part is the data culture and the adoption. I would say those four things are what I would always look for any goal that would be kind of part of it and that I would track towards.
I like the idea of tracking the adoption of Power BI. I don't know exactly how you would track that other than monthly active users in a report, right? Is there, how else would you track that?
It's, I think you do monthly active users, views since like you, views year to date. And then you also, again, you part of that, everyone's favorite feedback surveys, but I think you do kind of a mix.
I like that,
of that
one. Yeah. That's one I didn't think of that one. Yeah. You do a lot of those. You put out a report, you put out a survey, and you look at the survey results of reports and periodically kind of check in on those.
Right.
What are the types of questions you ask in those surveys?
Do you think Tommy's handsome? Number one.
Always, how many more requests always, are you going to do this year?
No. Always, every day, all the time. That's how you respond to that one.
No, so what we do, we bring out the form when we send it out, and there's kind of two segments. One is a general Power BI satisfaction or feedback, and the other is specific to the report. So the first thing is, like, I just generally, like, 1 to 7, I feel comfortable navigating Power BI. I trust the data when I'm looking at the reports. I know the, you know, what features do you use, like, frequently. I use search, I use Power BI apps, and just seeing if they are they actually using the things we've implemented. The report specific is like, I understand the intention of the report. This report helps me make decisions. You know, again, from a rating, I enjoy utilizing the, you know, drill through a bookmarks feature. I would, and then even adding in, what is the NFS rating? Like, I would recommend this report to a colleague. And you just get those, in a sense, numerical, the ordinal number that someone just chooses. And again, 1 to 7, so much better than 1 to 10.
Yep.
And that's kind of what we send out, and we kind of get that as an aggregate. So
are you seeing,
so to me, I just want to interject.
Oh, go ahead.
To me, all of that is around system usage and support.
I agree.
What does that tell you? How does that tell you that you're moving the needle in the organization though?
So I think
saying is like, is what I'm building useful?
Yes.
Which is a component. I'm not saying the survey is wrong, mm-hmm. right? It's an area of your business that is you know, you want to be keyed into. The point I think I'm trying to make here is it doesn't lead you in the direction of defining or building net new goals, because all you're doing is you're saying, I want to make sure my system is working as it's expected to, right? Like, if the survey is, hey, in your business area, what challenges do you have around insights? Like, does it take a long time to get some report that somebody is generating for you, and you can't make a decision until you get something, and it takes somebody a week to put it together? Or are there areas that you have absolutely no visibility into that would really, you know, add value to your business area, right? Like those types of questions around the challenges that still exist in the organization that you would want to key into, right? And say, and explore further, right? Either that means they need access to some data for some reason that they don't have, or they would potentially be identifying an area or person that you need to go talk to automate some of what they're doing, if you can, and create a report that isn't the manual, you know, 2 week right. extension of how they manually puts things together in an Excel file, because that's how you start making differences in an org, where you're identifying those problem areas. And you can do that in surveys. I'm just saying, don't misconstrue people using reporting as success or complete success, because you still have that blind spot of potentially some of the biggest areas in the business that you could make an impact.
And I was literally just about to say, I think what you're speaking to two different things, and the intention of that feedback survey is, one, obviously something it's our supply chain operational to view. Like if I see the average satisfaction's going down, or people do not understand the intention of reporting, I can see this trending over time that's decreasing. Well, that's a problem. And that's something I need to address. That's something that's reoccurring that we're always monitoring. That's not necessarily tied to a specific goal. To what you're saying, that's really hard with the survey. Because again, people are not going to go, oh, well, I download all these Excel files and this would be a big help.
Yeah, but their coworker might.
Coworker might. Mm-hmm. But I think that's when we look at the company's goals, and I kind of helps us say, oh, they want to increase the number of members. Okay, who works on the member team or customer support? Talk to them and say, what do you guys do? How do you guys manage all this? And then you can understand, then the ideas start coming. But I don't think that's necessarily just sending out a survey going, how can we help? But I think those are two. Yeah. Well, no, but I mean, like, it just, when you send out a survey, one, people are not necessarily prone to write out all their frustrations in a random form, but.
Didn't say that either.
Okay.
Targeted questions.
Okay.
You could even pick areas of data that you know no one has access to, except for like whenever they request something. Hmm? You could be like, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, like, rate how useful it would be if we, you know, lit up this data set for you, or
1 to 7
allowed you access to this data. Would that impact your business at all? On a scale of 1 to 10, like whatever, you know, survey-ish types questions that you could, you know, lay out. I'm just saying there's a lot of work that you could solve, a lot of problems you could solve in organizations if you keep digging.
And I know, I completely agree. I mean, we have to dig. It's not just going to come to us.
The unique thing about BI teams and data teams in general is we are within an organization, I think, some of the most uniquely qualified individuals to potentially have the biggest impact, right? Because you are plugged into a lot of different things. And with mm-hmm. Power BI, you can see the relationships between systems and how to tie data together in ways that people didn't even know was possible, right? And you have to drive those conversations and change, because most people aren't even aware that that question should be asked or that they could do that.
That's right. Possible. No, and I completely agree. Like that side of it, that's not going to come in a help desk ticket. That's one of those you're discovering, you're going, wait, what are you doing?
Right. And then at the same time, one of your goals could be as a team that's always aligned to an organizational goal, or it's just your own team goal that you're going to suss one of these areas out and solve it.
Yeah. That was actually one of my goals last year at my company. It was just like, let's identify more opportunities for our business applications. Because as soon as you start using, and that's, I love this space so much, because all the different tools, you talk to people and you're literally thinking of solutions in your head as you're looking at what they're doing. You're like, oh, you could do Power Automate with them, and just building that puzzle together. But I think part of our goal should be trying to reach out and identify those gaps or identify those pain points in the company that would make an impact. But again, that's not going to come top down.
I definitely agree with this comment of identifying opportunities for improvements. And I can definitely envision myself. I can walk across or just talk to people about what they do. And I have this natural way of teasing out this kind of information. I'm so excited about Power BI, I guess, in general, or I'm just passionate about how it works. But I feel like when I look at this, for me, it's very easy for me to identify these opportunities of like, oh my gosh, that's so wasteful. Why are we doing that? Like you hear these things, you listen for stuff that's like, oh, the client sends me this Excel file and all I do is put it in this folder and then I copy the data over and do this thing. Like you're like, oh, that's so. I think to your point, Seth, there's a level of like the team should be encouraged to have time to at least ask for these kind of things and at least document enough to know that there's a potential reward to the company by identifying that there's something that needs to be fixed. There's something inside me that says like, I don't think every organization gives people capability to go do that to some degree. Like
I'm not suggesting that. What I'm suggesting is the leaders of teams need to be doing this, right? If there are opportunities
True.
For team members, right? Or like you'll know which team members you could actually have Probably. Go do this kind of work, but you That's typically right. are leading people in a direction in that sense, right?
True.
Most of your team, I would argue, probably are not the ones that can go suss that stuff out on their own, right? But it is a learning experience for them.
Yes.
Right? If you bring them along for the ride and show you what they're doing, because at the end of the day, and Tommy, you're giving me the stink eye, which I don't like. Bring it. Is like you can't have the same expectations of all of these team members that you do of your leader, right?
I would agree.
Like you're in the position you are because of the experience that you have. If you take a person who's only 1 or 2 years into business intelligence, they're not going to have the same insights as you. So why would you have the same expectations?
No, and the reason this think I occurred was I'm not saying they're going to have the authority to obviously implement something, but I think
I'm not talking about authority. Everybody on my team has the authority to go build a report that would change the business. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is I don't have an expectation of them to do that. They are empowered to do that. Absolutely.
Yeah, no.
And would they shine if they did? Sure. But I'm not going to say, okay, one of our OGSMs this year is you guys need to go into the organization and reach out to all these people and you need to figure out all on your own. How do you, you
No, know, I don't think I would do that.
No.
I'm just saying like you need to bubble. So there needs to be a method by, so like, there's two things to this problem, I feel like. One is being able to find the time to do some of this stuff. Just this kind of like finding where these problems exist. And then being able to...
The time is everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The time then to collect this stuff, right? And so then there becomes a problem of there's going to be, I'd argue, there's going to be more problems than you can solve in a year, possibly. So now you have to sit back and say, okay, again, the leader of the BI team is now responsible for saying, what of these things do we prioritize? How do we quantify which one of these things makes the largest impact for the business, sure. right? So I totally agree, but yeah, I like it. I definitely hear about it. I think there needs to be like a process around, and I think you can actually like groom your tickets to that degree as a little bit as well, right? If there's a constant team asking for access to data, that sounds like an indicator for there's missing data that people don't have access to. If they keep asking, if many people from the same team keep asking for the same type of information or reports in slightly different formats or whatever that is, there's potentially a bigger need of, we need to do some training around self-service to them or figuring out what is the bigger request that keeps coming from 100%. That team over and over again.
Well, I think in the context of what Seth is talking about, I really think you won't find this in a lot in the tickets because a lot of times it's underneath rocks at the company. And what I'm saying, and not saying that we shouldn't allow anyone to, you know, think of a solution, build a report, but when we go in as the BI team, not just building something that someone's consuming, but when we propose or build something that changes a team's process, where they're no longer going to use these Excel files because now we have this other system for them to use, or they're no longer going to access it this way. This is how they input it here. We're changing the way they do things or have done things.
I like that idea.
That, because again,
one of your goals should be getting off of Excel sheets as input files to data.
Right, but
that should be like a thing.
So what I want my team or encourage them, and I don't know if you could set a goal, but I want them to have that mindset, because they're gonna, if anyone's gonna have the ideas on what can change and transform, it's the people in the weeds talking to these people a day in and day out on all these requests. If anyone's gonna have those ideas, like, their process is terrible for this. They were showing me this one, you know, they're showing me what they wanted for the report. I asked a few questions. They showed me their source system. You know, they spent hours on this. They're in the weeds. They see what the team's doing, you know, like in the shadow, so to speak, that we would never see sometimes. And I would encourage them and try to goal them, come with me with ideas or solutions. Not saying we're going to do them, but what have you seen that's occurring in this organization? You know, and then let me handle as the director to go in and say, we're going to transform your process. We need to modify your process. That's what I'm saying. And because again, what there's that two sides of this, where there's consumer base, where this doesn't change my process as a user at the company. I can just now access the data to, oh, you mean I can't, the thing I've done for 10 years, I'm no longer going to do. I have to go through this new system or this new process. Why? And then obviously there's pushback there, but there's so many needs for that. And I think that's that capability thing we talked about.
I think you're maybe speaking to something here that I want to call, it's a very consulting term, change management, right? I'm probably going to pick on Seth here for a bit for like what your thoughts on this one are too. But if I look at what is happening, what is Microsoft doing, right? So what we're seeing here is what I'm seeing here is there's a shift in tooling or trend in the shift in tooling that traditionally I was relegated to Excel, maybe Access. That's where I spent my time doing my analytical stuff from the business. I feel like what's happening right now is Microsoft is continually building tools that are more graphical in nature, easier to consume, easier to use. And if you listen to the Microsoft product team talk about Power BI, 5 minutes to wow. They want these tools to be for a business user to show up and know how to create things in it that help them. So as these tools become more low code, no code, Power Automate, Power Apps, Power BI, what that is doing, it's reducing the barrier to entry for people to do more powerful things with the tools that they're given the teams. So I think as this shift is happening, as we're seeing this tooling change, as we're seeing companies consume more of this business-facing, front-centric tooling, I think it's our goal as the BI team is to, you know, provide, you know, high-level things. Like, what is the corporate data policy as these things become easier? You know, establishing procedures for how does reports go from self-service into a corporate-managed report? What does that look like? What does that process look like? And communicating that to the organization. I think as the BI team, there should be this level of like, if you don't have a vision for your data and analytics culture, the BI team should be informing that to C-suites or C-levels and saying, this is the kind of culture we want. Go study other companies. Go get training from Microsoft. Go, you know, push people to get certified in various technologies that you can go get from Microsoft. So I think there's this level of like, we need to bring up the general education level or the general analytics capabilities of the broader part of the team. That should be part of our charter that happens with the BI team. And I think that moves us away from more of this straight up just rocking out tickets. I mean, that's probably part of this. We want to track that and know that's going on there. But I don't want to be stuck in a team where I'm just always working on tickets. I want to be part of a team that's coming up with vision, coming up, solving big problems, figuring things out and providing those back to the organization. I don't know. Thoughts on that one? I was thinking you, Seth, in this area would like latch onto some of these ideas.
There's a lot of thoughts you just threw out.
Sorry.
I agree, but at the same
time, I've been writing them down. That's why it's all picking out at once.
The final point you made, though, is that you want to be part of a team where you're finding these problems. They're finding these things. But yes. though it, you have to have the organization standing behind that.
Agreed.
Right? One. But at some point in time, that newfangled idea, the new thing of change, becomes the mundane of execution.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's why I'm in consulting, so I can move the next thing.
So I think that's where it's important that you keen in those ideas throughout the team, that they know those efforts are towards a goal, and yes, your execution is based on, you know, or the change that's going to occur, or perceived change, like the benefit to the company is this when we accomplish, you know, this small, medium, large thing. And that's, I think that drives people, right? Because you go from a lot of alignment to organizational goals to working with a team to make sure that they find value in the jobs that they're doing. And I think, Tommy, like one of your point of how your team is engaged with all these business units and sussing out the issues, I think it's our job to ensure that those conversations are meaningful between you and the employee that is finding these, to identify like, what do we think the biggest thing is? And then making that a business priority, right? You engaging with the business unit, you figuring out what to do, and then make it a known body of work, as opposed to, oh, this would be great if we could do this on the side. And I think that's where you would drive more of that, you know, change, where you're taking that out of the shadows, but it's not just we've identified this. Now you're helping your resources do the full loop. And I think showing them that what they're finding is creating business value, right? As opposed to, oh, that's a great thing, you should do that. You should do that like over here, and then we'll show people.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm just keep writing the thoughts that keep just dovetailing more things here.
So one of the things we didn't talk about a lot is actual team execution, right? What is a successful team like in internal team look like? What is unsuccessful? Oh. How does it break down? Like stuff like that. And I think we'll just have to tee up another
conversation.
I actually already have the topic part two.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I like this one. This was a good topic. Man, I have literally like a page of notes on this one. Man, so much stuff. We didn't even really talk about the differences of how this looks between small, medium, large businesses. What is that? You know, what does that, what do those roles look like across big sizes of teams? Excellent. Well, with that, you've burned through a perfectly good hour with us. We're going to wrap it here. Thank you all very much for listening. Our only ask is, if you enjoyed the podcast, if you found value from it, please recommend it to somebody else on your team. You know, tweet it out, maybe throw it out on social media that you enjoyed this episode, you found some value from the conversation we were having. Thank you all very much for listening. We appreciate it. And Tommy, where else can you find the podcast?
So if you're listening to the podcast, you can watch it live on YouTube and LinkedIn. Just follow Power BI Tips. Mm-hmm. And you can Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7:30 in the morning. If you're watching live, make sure to subscribe on Apple and Spotify. Leave us a rating. It helps us out a ton.
Very much appreciate it. Thank you all very much. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you later.